We have been on a journey the last 8 weeks together. Our journey has taken us through our worship process. And from the very first week, my goal was that we would begin to better understand what it means to truly worship God. And when we understand the what and the why of worship, my prayer continues to be that we will practice genuine worship every week. I hope that you now have an understanding that worship is more than what you see in the bulletin. Worship is more than the music that is played. Worship is more than this space with pews and Bibles, crosses, and an altar. I hope you understand that there is thought and reason behind every element of worship. There is thought and reason behind what's in the sanctuary. But despite our best attempts to create a worship experience, worship depends on your participation. The very first week, we learned that God invites us to worship, for we are called to worship, and that worship is about an encounter with God. And we answer that invitation each week as we go through our worship service, where we offer God our praise, our prayers, where we share signs of unity, where we receive God's word and the interpretation of God's word. Then after receiving the truth, our hearts are to respond to God's truth. And just as it is God who calls us to worship, it is God who sends us out into the world at the conclusion of our worship. God begins the conversation and God ends the conversation. This finale, the ending, the conclusion of the service, we call the sending forth. God sends us forth with a benediction, also known as a blessing. And God sends us forth with a charge or a command to go and serve God. And this should be a very important part of the service. It should be a very special time of the service, not just because we're that much closer to pancakes. This is where we go from a powerful encounter with God and with each other to go out and serve. We should be excited to go out and do what God has put on our hearts. But at the same time, we shouldn't want to let go of each other. We should be longing for the next time that we can get together and worship. When we consider the part of the ending that is God's blessing, we need to understand this. That number one, God blesses us to bless the world. And number two, God's blessing gives us power. We need God's blessing so that we can succeed in what God has put on our hearts. Remember, we are responding to God's word. God's word should call us to some type of response for the glory of God. And it is God's blessing that completes or pulls together everything we have just done together in worship. It is God's approval of what we have done in His name. And it is God's approval for what we are being sent out to do in His name. And when we further consider the sending forth, we must understand that as a community, we have been given a message from God and nourishment from Christ's table. This message and this nourishment is not for us alone, but it is also for the world. God's purpose for worship is to make changed hearts that change the world. God's purpose for worship is to make changed hearts that change the world. And a blessing without a charge lacks the connection to the service. A charge without blessing lacks the same sense of power that we need to go out and do our ministry and service. Both the benediction and charge are needed for the community to faithfully complete their conversation with God. The sending forth is like the wrap-up or the closing argument of a trial. It is my job to put in one moment what you should have responded to and then challenge you to go and do it, and to go and do it with the blessing of God. We need to take the truth of what we have received, and then we need to go and do something with it. You see, from the time of creation, God has charged his people to go and do. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" We, as God's creation, are called to action. We are to be fruitful, which means we are to be productive. We are not to be idle. We are supposed to go and do. It says increase in number, which means have kids and teach them to be productive. It says fill the earth. Just don't sit in one place. Spread out and go. He said subdue it, cultivate it, explore it, build on it, use it, rule over it. We are in charge, with the caution to take care of what we have given, to use it, but don't abuse it. As God's created people, we are not supposed to remain idle. We are to go and do. And as we see in the Bible, God has called many people to very specific action. He called Noah to build a boat. He called Moses to lead the Exodus. He called David to slay a giant and lead his people to be a mighty nation. He called Daniel and Samuel, Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jesus called his disciples to go and be fishers of men. You see, God is in the business of making action heroes. Did you ever think about that? We are called to be action heroes. James chapter 1 says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Does it get any more clear than that? Don't just come here and listen to the word. Do what it says. In fact, the final words Jesus gave to his disciples was a sending forth, a benediction with a blessing and a charge. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" If we don't leave here and then go and do, did we really worship then? How can we come here and have an encounter with God? How can we receive God's word, his truth, his nourishment, his encouragement? How can we receive God's teaching, his equipping, his grace, his forgiveness, and his promises without wanting to go and share that? Being a Christian really comes down to this: are we serving God or are we serving ourselves? Are we here for God's pleasure? Are we here to worship God? Are we here for what we get out of it? Now, I believe most of you are here for the right reasons. But what we have to do is to keep refining what we are doing. We need to keep working on our worship. We need to keep seeking encounters with God together. We need to come each and every week expecting to have an encounter with God. We have to do our parts to prepare our hearts so that you can offer genuine praise, so that you can offer genuine prayer. Every week we need to be faithful and purposeful when we share in signs of unity, when we receive God's word and the interpretation of God's word. And then after receiving the truth, our hearts should respond to God's truth. And then after all that, we reach the end of the service where we are blessed and sent forth. You see, what we do here impacts the rest of our week. Our worship should inspire us to continue to praise and pray to God throughout the week. Our worship should inspire us to go and be witnesses. Our worship should transform our lives. Our worship should change how we serve God and minister to the world. Worship should draw us closer to God and closer to each other. And then the opposite is also true. What we do during the week impacts our worship. When we have spent time throughout the week in prayer and praise, it makes our gathering more meaningful. When we have grown closer to God throughout the week, when we have seen His blessings in our ministry and witness to others, it makes us want to gather and share our testimony with each other. It adds to our worship. And then our worship is more powerful by what we have done in the week. And when our worship is more powerful, it makes our week more powerful. And then when our week is more powerful, it makes our worship more powerful. Do you see the pattern here? When we have a great worship, it should make you have a great week. And when you have a great week and you go out and you witness what God does, it should make you excited to come back here. When you're excited to come back here, it makes our worship that much more powerful. And when the worship's more powerful, it just goes back and forth and back and forth. And if we want to continue to see this church grow, we need two things. First, people need to see that our church and our faith makes a difference in our individual lives. If people say, "Why do you go to church?" You need to be able to tell them what a difference it makes in your life. In fact, you probably shouldn't even have to tell them. Church should make such a difference in your life that people see it. And second, people need to see that our church and our faith makes a difference in other people's lives. Do you see that? It can't be just about what we do and we get better, but they need to see that our church and our faith makes a difference in other people's lives. And I can tell you firsthand that our church does make a difference in other people's lives. This past week, I had two different people reach out to me. I had one person that reached out to me just from Mike Herbert's funeral. I ran into them at Diana's wedding just a little over a week ago. And she came to me and she said, "You know, something at your church really touched me during that service." And then we had a visitor a couple weeks ago that came and said, "You know what? There's something at your church that really touched me." We need to be about making a difference. Does church make a difference in your life? Does your life make a difference in the lives of others? In James, it says that faith without action is dead. People need to see that we are alive. People need to see us in action. People need to see that our lives are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And people need to see that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is transforming the lives of people outside of this church. And the question is, are you ready to go and make a difference? Now, there's a lot of talk about reinventing church. And there's seminars on, oh, we have to have new expressions of faith and new ways of doing this. You need to become a coffee bar church. You need to become a brew pub church. You need to become a contemporary church. You need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do that. And you know what I say? You don't need programs. You need the Holy Spirit. People talk about, well, we need Saturday night worship or change our time of worship or do this or do that because people don't want to get up on Sunday mornings. And I say that's baloney. Because people get up every Saturday and every Sunday morning at 6 or 7 a.m. to go do a walk for cancer or do a walk for a heart or do a heart mini marathon. All these different things people will get up and go do, right? Why? Because they feel they're a part of something. They feel that they're doing something. They feel that they're contributing to something. And isn't it sad that the church hasn't given them that purpose where they feel that they need to get up and be here? And it's because the lack of witness that we are. If you're on social media, get on your phone and say, "I'm here at Zion Church worshiping my God." And throughout the week, instead of calling people up and complaining about what somebody on the TV said about some stupid politician, why don't we talk about Jesus? Why don't we talk about what God is doing in our lives? Because God's the only person that can bring real change. I don't care what any candidate says. I don't care who's elected in the office. We are called to change lives. We are called to change people. And when we go out and we live it, then people say, wow, church does make a difference. This shouldn't be just a place that breaks up our week. This shouldn't be just a place that we go because there's some friends that we like. We should come here expecting to have an encounter with God. We should come here expecting to hear the truth from God. And that truth should create a response in us. And it should be on our hearts and our minds to go out and share those things that we have learned, to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that we meet. We are to go and make disciples. Some of you told me you remember doing that as a child, being the acolyte. And see, as we gather to worship, bringing in the light is supposed to be symbolizing God's presence being brought in to be with us. The light of Christ. And at the end of the service, tradition is usually you take the light and the light is taken out. And that is to symbolize us taking the light of Christ with us as we go. And that's what we do here at the end of the service. We have come to have an encounter with God. We have come to hear His truth. And now it's time to hear His words and go do His words. A blessing and a charge from the Apostle Paul. Now may our faith and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Go and take the light of Christ with you. Make a difference this week in somebody's life. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.